Good evening. After listening to everyone else, I was thinking, I wish I'd made my talk here a little more personal. So I'm a little bit torn because you can always go back to your testimony and how you came to know Jesus Christ. So I'll briefly do that before I get dry and theological, which is my tendency. Basically, we got to hold it tight. Growing up, I went to church. I was made to go to church every week. To be honest, I hated it. Didn't mean a whole lot to me. If I can be straight up with you, which I generally always am or are, I was Lutheran. That's what I was raised. It doesn't mean all Lutheran churches are bad. I don't want to throw that blanket, but I will say this. In all my years and in my father's traveling, as he was an automotive engineer, we traveled a lot. Every new Lutheran church, I went through confirmation, I went through everything, it meant nothing to me. And at no point did anyone ever tell me, Doug, you need to be born again. Being religious will get you nowhere. So it was later in life as I had broken away, stopped going to church when I was old enough to tell my dad, I'm not going and you can't make me. Getting into drugs, alcohol, crime, I knew my life was heading down the wrong path. And it was really a man that I had met years back, who I'll never forget. His name was Mike Howe. He took an interest in some troubled kids in my neighborhood, including me. He never told me, Doug, you're going to hell. But for the first time in my life, I saw a man that was so godly. I knew intrinsically he's going to heaven and I'm not. He was just that good. He truly had the patience of Job with kids that really ruined his place. He'd let us drive his car, we'd ruin it. Actually, I had a nice Jeep, but that was up in Indiana. But at the age of 18, one of my drug buddies, I'm actually older than everyone who's been up here, as the two of them have mentioned their ages. I'm old enough to come out of the Jesus People movement, which was really a unique movement. And it was really a unique time where the Holy Spirit, it truly was somewhat of, an awakening in the 70s and 80s. And one of my drug buddies, basically became what we called a Jesus freak. And that's what we called him back then. And everyone was warned, don't get around Rod, he's become a Jesus freak. And so, I sought to avoid him, but deep down inside, I knew that what Rod had found was real. And so Rod never gave up on me. And as a hippie with hair down the middle of my back doing drugs, Rod made it to where I could not escape. He wanted me to go to a Jesus festival in Mount Union, Pennsylvania. I didn't want to go. I'd have rather smoked weed, got drunk, or done something else. But as one said before, I think, Frank, there was that thought in my head, how many times will God give me that chance? And when I said, Rod, I have no money, I don't have a car, Rod, everything I said, Rod said, I got money. I don't have a ride. I got a ride. You ride with me, Doug. Well, I don't have any money to be there. Don't worry about it. I'll pay for you. The whole thing. It was about the fourth night there. I don't remember a lot about it. I do and I don't. I don't remember every minute detail of the speakers, but I can remember how convicted I felt. And by one of the last nights there, I can remember hearing an ex-Hell's Angel who was, I think, second or third highest in the United States who had found the Lord. He shared his testimony and what it had meant. And I can remember feeling such a burden. And they had a tent that they said, if anyone would like to ask Christ to come into their life, go to the tent over there. And I think by night number four, I said, okay, I'm going to go investigate it. By the time I got there, you know, I literally broke down. And I honestly, I had a harsh childhood. A father from the Middle East, a mother who had psychological problems. I never knew what love was. I don't think I'd cried in so long because my heart was so hardened and I hated everyone. And yet that night I can remember, I felt like I was walking on air as I had left that the tent. I mean, I knew immediately that God had radically transformed my life. So now let me get to the message. I think I have 5 minutes. But I can't express enough. You know, you can be religious, that gets you nowhere. Okay? At some point, you must be born again. John 3:3 states that. Before I knew Christ, I recognized the cross as a religious symbol. It literally meant nothing to me personally. Basically, two wooden beams perpendicular to one another, the horizontal piece being roughly one half the length of the vertical piece. Historically, a very cruel means by which the Romans would bring death to those who had deserved it. So what is it about the cross that brings about its significance? I'll tell you, in and of itself, it's meaningless. As meaningless as the guillotine, the firing squad, lethal injection, or any other means of putting someone to death. So what makes the cross so significant? It's not the cross itself. It is what and who died on that cross. That's what makes it significant. That's what makes it important to me. God Almighty came to earth, took on flesh, voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity, the hypostatic union. He was fully man, and yet he was fully God. As genuine born-again believers, he bore the penalty for our sins, past, present, and future. What he did on the cross was a one-time event like no other and will never be duplicated again. As a result, we now have an advocate on our behalf. We can now approach the throne of God without sacrifices because the ultimate sacrifice has been made at the cross. That's where it gets real to me. Some scumbag individual like myself in the years where I was doing everything from robbing, stealing, drugs, alcohol, and God saw fit. I marvel at that. I still marvel at that. That was 38 years ago. I can remember some man I worked with, when they heard Doug was religious, he said, "Ah, it's just a phase he's going through. It'll be over in a month or two, I promise." That was 38 years ago. It hasn't gone away. I plan to die this way. So the cross is to me my identity. When I think of my identity in Christ, I think of Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Not I hope to be, not I will try to be. Past tense, I am. I am crucified with Christ. It is in the past tense, and it refers to what has already taken place. As a born-again believer, I am crucified with Christ. Imagine that when Christ was on the cross, the nails went through his hands, through the cross, and you were hanging on the back of it, and the nails went through your hands, through your feet, because that's what happened. That is your identity in Christ. That when he died, you died. He died physically. We die to the flesh. We no longer have to be enslaved to our old nature. He then says, "Nevertheless, I live. My individuality continues, but I still have the limitations of the flesh, but I no longer must be enslaved to it. Yet not I, as the verse goes on, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So whose faith did Paul say lives on? Was it his faith? No. It is now Christ's faith imparted to him and to us. When I'm not good enough, his faith is. I'm going to finish with a devotion by Oswald Chambers, who's one of my favorites and I go way back with. Oswald Chambers states this: I've been crucified with Christ. The imperative need spiritually is to sign the death warrant of the disposition of sin, to turn all emotional impressions and intellectual beliefs into a moral verdict against the disposition of sin. My claim to my right to myself, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. He does not say, I have determined to imitate Jesus Christ, or I will endeavor to follow him, but I have been identified with him in his death. When I come to such a moral decision and act upon it, then all that Christ wrought for me on the cross is wrought in me. The free committal of myself to God gives the Holy Spirit the chance to impart to me the holiness of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The individuality remains, but the mainspring, the ruling disposition, is radically altered. The same human body remains, but the old satanic right to myself is destroyed. And the life which I now live in the flesh, not the life which I long to live and pray to live, but the life I now live in my mortal flesh, the life which men can see, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This faith is not Paul's faith in Jesus Christ, but the faith that the Son of God has imparted to him, the faith of the Son of God. It is no longer faith in faith, but faith which has overleapt all conscious bounds, the identical faith of the Son of God. Thank you.